Please pray with me. Dear Heavenly Father, the scriptures are your word to us in a way of revealing just some of the great and glorious events that we have coming up in store for us. We thank you for the everlasting peace we have in knowing you. We ask you to be with Dana today as he delivers the message you have set forth before him. Help his words be directed from your spirit so he can glorify you and be a servant of you through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Our first scripture reading is from the Old Testament, Daniel 12, 1 through 4. At that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. There will be a time of distress such as not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is written in the book, will be delivered. Multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake, some to everlasting life, others to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise will shine like the brightness of the heavens, and those who lead many to righteousness like the stars forever and ever. But you, Daniel, close up and seal the words of the scroll until the time of the end. Many will go here and there to increase knowledge. Our second reading is from Revelation 6, 9 through 17. When he opened the fifth seal, I saw under the altar the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and the testimony they had maintained. They called out in a loud voice, "How long, sovereign Lord, holy and true, until you judge the inhabitants of the earth and avenge our blood?" Then each of them was given a white robe, and they were told to wait a little longer until the full number of their fellow servants and brothers and sisters were killed just as they had been. I watched as he opened the sixth seal. There was a great earthquake. The sun turned black, like sackcloth made of goat hair. The whole moon turned blood red, and the stars in the sky fell to the earth as figs dropped from a fig tree when shaken by a strong wind. The sky receded like a scroll rolling up, and every mountain and island was removed from its place. Then the kings of the earth, the princes, the generals, the rich, the mighty, and everyone else, both slave and free, hid in caves and among the rocks of the mountains. They called to the mountains and the rocks, "Fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who can withstand it?" The words of the Lord.
Thank you, Al. Well, in times of peace, we hope that nothing bad will happen. And in times of trouble, we hope that nothing bad will prevail. And we live in a time of trouble right now, hoping that nothing bad will prevail. Some bad has happened. And similar to the time when I started seminary, my first week of seminary, we were headed across the street to begin the convocation service, the very dignified worship service that marked the beginning of our seminary education, and we were stopped on the way there with the news of the 9/11 terrorist attacks. We spent the rest of our time watching the television. And it wasn't long after that that life returned to normal, but we always saw things a little differently. Now, normal life for me meant studying, and my favorite study was church history. It was kind of like dessert. It was more fun than work, especially the way I did it, because I put my books in the backpack, grabbed my lawn chair and my fishing pole. I went down to the Mississippi River, threw some bait in the water, and I started to read. And today I'm going to preach to you what I read one fine October afternoon about a martyr named Perpetua. She and her companions were arrested for being Christians, and they died in the arena. And her diary of the experience is the oldest living Christian writing written by a woman, and one of the few surviving ancient texts written by a woman of any kind. It's also an incredible witness. When I was reading this account of her death and the death of her companions, my heart was pounding and my hands were shaking. I forgot all about where I was, even though I could still hear the water and hear the birds and feel the sun on my face. So I'm going to do my best to tell you the story of Perpetua and her companions. And this is extending the theme of All Saints Day, when we talked about saints, people who died and gone to heaven and who have influenced our faith. It's a time for us to reflect that for God's purposes, our Martha was spared, and she's still with us, no doubt to be a witness among us until her time comes to go to heaven. And so it's a time for us to reflect about the days we're living in and the things in front of us. It'll be a long illustration and a short sermon. So here's the story of Perpetua. She was arrested on charges of being a Christian. She and four companions, a fifth turned himself in later. While she was arrested, her father was with her, and her father pleaded with her not to go through with it, to simply take 5 minutes and burn incense to Caesar, pay tribute to Caesar, a very simple task. And he pleaded with her not to let her son die. She was 22 years old, nursing a baby, almost exactly the same age as my daughter Madeline. Her father tried to persuade her, and she said to him, "This lamp is a lamp, right? You call this bowl a bowl. I can't be called anything but what I am, a Christian." And when he heard the word Christian, he came at her like he was going to pluck her eyes out. He was enraged. Then there were a few days that passed before they were thrown into prison, and in that time they were all baptized. They were catechumens, which means they were spending a year preparing to be a Christian and to be called by the name of Jesus. They had a sponsor. They practiced fasting, and then before they were baptized, they had demons cast out of them. They experienced exorcism. It was the standard procedure in that time and place. So they were baptized, and Perpetua's one request was that she would have perseverance in the flesh. Then they were thrown into prison, and this was the most terrifying thing Perpetua had ever experienced. It was dark and stifling hot, and they were treated very roughly. But the deacons came to the rescue. Her aid deacons. They came with a bribe, and they bribed the soldiers so that they could be moved to a better part of the prison just for a few hours. And then she received her baby and was able to nurse. Her baby was languishing, in danger of dying from dehydration and hunger. And she was greatly relieved. Not long after that, she was allowed to have her baby in prison with her. And then she says the prison became like a palace, and there wasn't any place that she'd rather be. While she was in prison, her brother came to her, who was also a believer, and said, "God favors you. You could ask God for a vision, and he'll tell you if you'll be delivered." So she did, and she said, "Brother, I'll tell you tomorrow what the Lord says." And that night she had a dream. She had a vision of a bronze ladder, and on the sides of the ladder were sharp weapons of every kind, razor sharp, deadly weapons. And one person in their group went up the ladder first. He was the first one to die in the arena. And when he got to the top, he called down to her and said, "Watch out for the dragon so that it doesn't bite you." And then she said in the vision, "In Jesus' name, he will not bite me." And then the dragon cowered down, and she put her foot on his head and climbed up the ladder. When she got to the top of the ladder, she saw God. She saw a great giant shepherd with white hair, who was milking the sheep. And around him were thousands of people in white clothing, and they were singing. And the shepherd gave her some milk from the sheep that he was milking, and she cupped it in her hands and drank it. And when she drank it, the crowds around said, Amen. And then she woke up, and she knew that they would not be delivered, that she would give her life as a martyr. While she was in prison after this, her dad came and speaking tenderly and pleading with her, kissing her hand, said, I've favored you above your brothers. Please pay tribute to Caesar. Don't do this. And she said, if God wills that I'll be rescued, I will. You can trust what God will do. And he left in very heavy sorrow. He had come because he heard there was going to be a hearing, that they were to be brought before the governor, and they'd have a chance to recant and say, I'll burn incense to Caesar. They were up in a public forum on the platform, and the word got out that the Christians were there at the hearing, and so a huge crowd gathered around very quickly. And one by one, each of them confessed their guilt. Yes, I'm a Christian. I'm a Christian. Her father was there when it was her turn, and he came with her son and said, please, don't do this. Don't do this. And he was so frustrated. He was plucking out his beard and throwing it on the ground. And he was such a disruption to the court that the governor ordered him to be beaten with rods. Perpetua felt very sorry for him because she had just experienced that herself. But she confessed with the others, I'm a Christian. They were thrown back in prison, and the warden, whose name is recorded in this ancient text, Pudens, I think you'd pronounce it, he saw that they were a group that had great power, and he started to favor them and allow them to have a lot of visitors. And later, a rumor was spread that they were going to escape through some kind of magic spell or magical power, and some of the other soldiers started treating them terribly rough. And then Perpetua spoke and said, you know, if we enter the arena half dead, it's going to make you look bad. And he got red-faced and changed his plan and started treating them more humanely. The day before they were thrown into the arena, Perpetua had another vision. And in this vision, the deacon came and led her out of the prison and led her to the amphitheater. And there was an athletic trainer, and it was a huge, giant person. It was God again. And he had in one hand a trainer's staff, and in the other a green branch with golden apples on it. And he announced to the crowds who were cheering, if you defeat this enemy, and the enemy was an Egyptian fighter, if you defeat this enemy, first he said, if you are defeated by this enemy, you will be killed by the sword. But if you defeat this enemy, you will win this green branch with the golden apples. And then she was helped by attendants, and then it was like a video game. She was up in the air punching and kicking, just like the games my kids used to play in the youth group, you know. And she kicks the Egyptian in the head, and at one point when there's a lull in the action, she brings her hands together and brings it around the Egyptian's head and throws him to the ground and steps on his head. And there's a great cheer, and she's won. She receives the green branch. And then she knew that she wouldn't be fighting animals in the arena. They were all condemned to die by the wild beasts. But she'd be fighting the devil. And that she would win. Her trainer kissed her and said, peace be with you, before she fought this battle. In all the visions she had, and the others had visions too, God always appears as very gentle and very affectionate God. So while they were in prison, one of the Christians died from the conditions of the prison, and another was a woman who was 8 months pregnant, and she prayed, and they all prayed earnestly that she would have her baby before the day of the execution was to happen, because if she was pregnant, it was against the law for her to die in the arena as a pregnant woman, and she would have to wait, and she really didn't want her holy blood to be mixed with the blood of common criminals. She wanted to die with her friends as a witness to Christ. And at the end of one of their prayer times, right as they said amen, she began labor pains. It was a very painful labor, and she was crying out in the pain, and the soldiers were taunting her and saying, "You should have thought of this. How's it going to feel when the beasts tear you apart? You should have burned incense to Caesar." And she said, "Right now I'm suffering alone, but when I'm in the arena, there'll be one who's suffering with me." When the day came, the day before they were to die, they had a last meal. And this was in a part of the prison that people could witness. So the word got out again that the Christians were having their last meal. They tried to make it a love feast, which was like the Lord's Supper. And they warned the people around them that the judgment of God was coming and they should repent. They shouldn't take pleasure in killing innocent people, but they should turn their hearts around and come to God like they had. And when they came time for them to enter the arena, they were trembling, but they weren't trembling with fear. They were trembling with joy. They called it the day of their victory. And each of them had prayed to die in a specific way. The warden that I mentioned by name, he had started to become a believer at this time. And they encouraged him as they were going out into the arena to keep faith. They were also warning the crowds who were taking pleasure in their death to turn and repent. And some of the men in the group looked at the governor who had condemned them to death and motioned with their hands that you condemned us to death, but God will condemn you. At that point, the crowd became completely enraged and ordered that they be flogged, scourged, like Jesus was with the whips that tear your flesh. And they were. And they counted themselves blessed to be able to suffer in the way that Jesus had. They were exposed to the different animals. The one man was exposed, tied to a wild boar. But the boar gored the gladiator, who died a couple days later, and simply drug him around. He feared the bear most of all. And the bear would not come out of its cage. But he had prayed that he would die from one bite from a leopard. And when the leopard was released, it grabbed him in the neck. And he was showered with blood, and the crowd in the stadium cried out, "Duly washed, duly washed." And he said, "Yes, I have been washed with this baptism of blood." Then he took the warden, who was becoming a Christian, and he took a ring off his finger and dipped it into his wound, into his blood, and he gave it back to him. I said, "Don't be discouraged in your faith because of the way we're dying, but remember us." I can tell you today that the martyrs who died in Egypt recently, the zip ties that held them together before ISIS beheaded them, they're saved by the church, and people come and remember them by these tokens. So I'm sure that his ring was very precious to him afterwards. Perpetua and Felicitas, the two women that are central in this account. They were condemned to die by a mad cow. They were trampled by a mad cow, and most of them survived the animals, and usually they're taken down out of view to have their throats slit. But the crowd was so enraged that they demanded to see them die in front of them. And so all of them died silently except Perpetua, who was stabbed in the ribs and it hit a bone, and she screamed. And then she took the sword out of her body and held it to her neck. The gladiator's hands were trembling. And the editor of the document says she was so feared by Satan that she was not allowed to be killed without her consent. And that's how they died. Now, that's the long story, and here's the short sermon. There are 3 points for us to remember today from this message. One, these are the things that Perpetua did. First, she believed the truth. And I know that there's rich scripture that was read that I'm not saying a word about, hardly. We'll hopefully come to that another time. But the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1 says that the truth is suppressed by the wickedness of people. And Perpetua and her companions had to make a decision. God's characteristics are seen in creation. We know that there's a creator. But she was told all kinds of other things about how creation existed and what was true. And she knew that if she accepted the narrative of the Christians, that she would become an enemy of the state. But she was wise, and she decided that it's better to believe the truth than it is to trust a lie. So she believed the truth. Daniel chapter 3, verse 2 says, "Those who are wise will shine with the brightness of day." We don't only have to hear the evidence, but wisely choose to believe. She also told the truth. She was asked, "Are you a Christian?" And she said, "I am." Now, the offense to the Roman government was not that people believed in Jesus. The offense was that the Christians would not burn incense to Caesar. You see, in order to become the global empire that the Roman government was, conquering nations with different gods, their strategy was called syncretism. Once they conquered a land with different gods, those gods would become part of the Roman pantheon. You could worship any god you wanted as long as Caesar was at the top, as long as Caesar was Lord. And the Christian said, "No, Jesus is Lord." She told the truth and said, "I'm a Christian," and meant it in the way that I follow the Christ of the Scriptures, the uncreated Creator, whose name is above all names, and no other God is to be worshipped but Him. Revelation chapter 6, verse 9 says that the martyrs were killed for the Word of God and for their testimony. The Word of God explains that there is no other creator but the uncreated creator, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. You cannot have a vision of Jesus and a conception of Jesus and a following of Jesus that will share the platform with other gods. It's a wide funnel. Anyone from any nationality in any time who's spent their whole life worshiping any god can turn and find faith in Christ. At the bottom of the funnel, though, is a narrow spout, and that is Jesus himself. He's the only one who died on the cross to take away the sin of humankind. She believed the truth, she told the truth, and now the truth is told about her. The lie was told in the arena that she's an enemy of the state, that she deserves death, but now billions have heard her story and celebrate her and celebrate the power of her witness. The same is true for you. People may believe that you're an enemy of society if you have this narrow view that Jesus is the only way. People may say that you're a danger if you insist and stubbornly persist in your faith. But the truth will be told about you if you believe the truth and tell the truth. And before the angels, God will confess you as his own. There's no time to say any more. I wish with all my heart I could share that moment with you when my heart was pounding and I was shaking hearing the story. Maybe in Sunday school we'll read the story today, but for now may the Lord strengthen us to believe the truth and tell the truth so the truth will be told about us. May we be strengthened in this meal. Amen.